And if anyone does believe that there is such a thing as this valid religious profession, I'm only stating now that there are many, many other things that I could discuss that point out my views, and someday I hope to discuss these things and put them on tape and let people know if they're interested in them. Please pray for me, and may the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph grant to each and every one of us the grace we need to know the truth, live the truth, love the truth, live and die in the true Catholic faith in the state of sanctifying grace, having obtained that degree of holiness, and as God's holy will we obtain. In listening to this tape again before sending it out, I picked up a couple of errors that I wish to correct at this time. One of them was on side one of this tape, I believe, when I was dubbing in from the talks that Father Dennis Phillips Winterman gave on June 4th and then on June 17th. And I think I said something to the effect that after Father made that mention of knowing 17 individuals who had been first involved in the bishop's problem of homosexuality, that he went on to, when I dubbed in something else, where Father explained how he had left the community in 1967 after having been personally confronted with that problem. And what I'm trying to correct is that which I dubbed in there was not found on his talk of June 17th, but it was also following almost immediately what I just dubbed in from his talk on June 4th. I put that in case you or somebody wishes to look up that reference source. So both those things I dubbed in was from his talk on June 4th, and I only read from the talk on June 17th rather than taking time to get the wording on the tape and put it into here. Another correction I think was necessary on this side of the tape when I said something to the effect that the church now requires a 3-year novitiate before making final profession, and I should have stated to the effect that the church requires a 3 years of temporary profession before making the final profession. And in both books by Father Humphrey, he tells us that no layman has any jurisdiction in the Catholic Church. I have found that same statement in several other places during my study and research. One place comes to mind now is, if you wish to look up another source, you can look in all the Catholic encyclopedias. A copy I have, I believe, was printed in 1912. You look under the general title of laity, and you will find that this is also a teaching of the Church, not only given by Father Humphrey, but from many other sources, that no layman possesses any real spiritual jurisdiction. But another important thing I wish to put onto this tape now concerns Episcopalia and its use in the internal forum and in the external forum, because this is another very important restriction on the use of Episcopalia, which is in harmony with it being applicable to individual and particular cases rather than to general situations. And this important restriction is that Episcopalia has reference only to the internal forum, which is the form of the conscience of each individual. Episcopalia has no application whatever to the external forum. And there's many things regarding the external forum, being able to preach, distribute communion, but one very important thing that we're speaking of in this tape is founding religious congregations or religious societies, such for example as Marcel Lefebvre founds these different religious institutions throughout the world. But we're speaking now more specifically about the so-called religious congregation of Mary Immaculate, Queen of the Universe, that Francis Conrad Checkart founded, or supposedly founded. And here again then, in no way can he invoke Episcopalia to justify that which has externally taken place. And I return once more then to this book, The Nature, History, and Use of Episcopalia and Moral Theology by the Reverend Lawrence Joseph Riley. And on page 6, he gives here in footnote 25, D'Angelo endeavors to show that practically all modern canonists consider Upakaya to be a purely moral and ethical institute, having validity only in the internal forum. And then I turn clear over to page 232, because Father Riley writes here, intimately connected with this problem is the question of whether or not Upakaya has any standing in the external forum. It would appear to be the rather general consensus of authorities today that it has not. And I insert here then to point out now that quotation they just gave from De Angelo. Father Riley writes here, writing in Apollinarius, De Angelo points out that St. Thomas considers Upakaya to be a merely moral element, and that modern writers believe it to have reference only to moral and not to juridic matters. And continuing on here then on page 233, Van Hoof contends that since Upakaya is not an act of jurisdiction, it has value only in the internal forum. Sagmuller states clearly that Upakaya is not recognized by law as such. Koninger likewise maintains that ecclesiastical law does not recognize Upakaya, which, being merely a subjective attitude on the part of the subject of the law, is valid only for the internal and not for the external forum. Haring believes that modern teaching on law leaves no place for Upakaya. Its function is, to a great extent, taken over by, quote, logical interpretation, unquote, a corrective or grammatical interpretation, which results when the investigation of the basis of the law shows that the lawgiver wished to say more or less than he actually did. Helling seems almost unwilling to give any standing to Upakaya at all, believing that it practically amounts to self-dispensation, which is in contradiction to law as a binding norm. He concludes at the most that it may be recognized in the internal forum, where one's conscience is the highest objective obligating force. Von Schurer not only dismisses Upakaya as being without value in the external forum, but he also seems to be of the opinion that it has no standing even in the internal forum. For its basis, a supposed dispensation is unsubstantial, unimportant, and foreign to law. On the other hand, there are some authors who believe that Upakaya does have place, though very rarely, in the external forum. And then Father Riley goes on to give the statements here of three theologians, the Annabelles, Maroto, and Coronata, and how vigorous they are. But then he goes on here in page 235 to state, it is obviously impossible to evaluate the standing of the Annabelle, Maroto, and Coronata on this matter, inasmuch as they offer no argument to substantiate their position. And these are the three then that say that very rarely Upakaya might have some place in the external forum. Father Riley goes on here, on the other hand, it cannot be denied that the whole history of the concept of Upakaya in moral theology points to the fact that it has always been considered an institute which has reference to the internal forum only. In point of fact, no aspect of Upakaya is more characteristic than its subjectivity. And he gives a few more sentences to explain that, and then Father Riley goes on. But the point here is that, in spite of the existence and necessity of this objective element, the effects of Upakaya are confined to the internal forum. The lack of imputability and lack of guilt for transgressing the letter of the law has standing only in that forum, the internal forum. So in the final conclusion, again, I ask you to pray for me as I will for you and for everyone, that we all live according to the teachings of the church that Jesus Christ founded, live and die in the true church in the state of sanctifying grace, and be together for eternity.
And that ends the tape I had made to Bishop George Musey about the religious life and the religious vows. Now I will continue dubbing in where I left off on the tapes. What is it all about? And we were speaking before, just beginning with the crazy radio commentator. And he's going to go into interviewing some people about the religious life. And that's why I wanted you to have this background about the religious vows and the Congregation of Mary Immaculate, Queen of the Universe. And so with that being said, let us tune into the radio of crazy commentator, Crazy Radio Man.
background information, which I, your crazy commentator, broadcasting here from Crazy Radio in Religiousville, USA, have given you our guest speakers today. Let us now turn to whom I first called Mr. Anyman, who tells us now that he has become Bishop Anyman. And will you then now, Bishop Anyman, fill us in on your background and how you came to that title and this religious congregation you have started so that we understand what it is all about?
Well, Mr. Crazy Commentator, when I was a young chap, I had a very active career. You name it, I was doing it. I was involved in teaching, in studying, in politics, in drama, in journalism, in lecturings, on TV and radio, traveled worldwide. Again, you name it, I was doing it, good things and bad things. So, and then I came to realize in the early 1960s that things were not going so well in the Catholic Church. All these things coming out of Vatican II were really looking bad. And by the end of the year 1967, Paul VI had destroyed the Mass and implemented a large part of his plans for the Masonic domination of the Church. The dark clouds of Vatican II were already shedding in every vestige of light, grace, and truth. And I realized that things were not so good. All of the bishops of the Catholic Church, from the Pope on down, had already lost their offices. They were implementing the works of Satan. And I realized that all the religious were abandoning their holy vocations, throwing out their habits and their rosaries and everything that pertains to holiness. And therefore I got a few young men and women to join up with me to start up a new religious order. And because all the bishops by now were conciliar and had lost their power of jurisdiction, I decided I'd just as well receive the vows of these religious myself. Although I was just a layman, and in truth I knew he had no jurisdiction, but that didn't matter to them. I told him it was just private vows. Things will happen later on. We can straighten the mess out, maybe. Well, anyway, as things went on, I received their private vows, which made them not religious, but only laymen yet, although they called themselves brothers and sisters. And then as things got worse and worse, I got in contact with an old schismatic bishop because I figured that at least they must have valid orders. People said they did anyway. And I got myself consecrated by this old schismatic bishop. And then I was really in first place, the one and only true Catholic bishop, because now I was certainly a Catholic, although I came from an old schismatic. And after that, right away, within a few months, I went ahead and gave the Episcopal approbation to my religious order myself. The first and only case of this ever happening in the whole history of the Catholic Church. But nevertheless, it was certainly valid and licit, everything I did. And after this, the congregation grew, some might even say by leaps and bounds, considering the times in which we live. And so amazing. Mr. Crazy Commentator, I guess that's about a brief summary of how I'm going to save the church and the world from this crazy age in which we live. For now, we're prospering with priests and religious and quite a congregation of lay folks. Well, Mr. Anyman, that is quite a story you have just told us. And indeed, do people still believe in you? Do they follow you? Do you not think that those things we read a while ago to you apply anymore today? Oh, Mr. Crazy Commentator, anything that doesn't apply, I get out of the way. All I have to do is simply say, Hepakiah, say the day, come and take God's laws away. If there happens to be a law in the code I don't care for, Hepakiah, save my day, come and take God's laws away. Oh, yes. Very easy to get around it because the people don't know their faith and they don't take time to study it and they don't care if they really know. I've got them quite buffaloed. I can speak with a forked tongue. If it fits me, that's fine. The laws are on my side. If they don't fit me, then all I say is, Hepakiah, save my day. Come and take God's laws away. For if I live by those laws, I know I have no jurisdiction. I know there's no valid religious institute. I know there's no valid religious profession. I know that I've conned a lot of men and women into doing things that are against God's holy will. But look at where I stand today. I'm a rich man, as some would say. I run a congregation that is worth millions, materially speaking anyway. Oh, but I fear the day of eternity, for I indeed have much to answer to God for. Well, Mr. Anyman, can people still follow you? Oh, Mr. Crazy Commentator, most certainly. Things don't seem like they're going to last much longer, but all right for now, so let us get on with the program. All right, Mr. Anyman, let us turn then to our second guest for today. And this is your stepbrother, Mr. Brendan Patrick O'Toole, Irish from seven generations back. And Mr. O'Toole, or I guess you also have the same line about as Mr. Anyman, and now you proclaim yourself to be a bishop also. Can you give us your background, please, today?
Well, Mr. Crazy Commentator, it is like this, you see. When I was a very young chap, I was involved in many things, you see. I was in teaching and traveling and studying in politics and drama and journalism, you name it, I was doing it. Yes, indeed. And then I saw that things were getting bad in the early 1960s with regard to the Catholic Church. And then I saw that toward the end of the 1960s, things were really, really bad. By Paul VI and his cohorts had destroyed the Catholic faith, and all of the bishops had abandoned the faith. And I came to realize that Jesus and Mary needed me to save the world and their holy church. And therefore, I prayed more and more fervently till I obtained some young men and women who would follow me. And although I knew I had no jurisdiction being only a layman, I still received their vows as religious. Although it wasn't valid, they believed in me. And then, as time went on, things got even worse. And I finally found myself an old Roman Catholic schismatic bishop who agreed to ordain and consecrate me. And yes, indeed, that happened in the early 70s. And after that, there was a great change in the history of the Catholic Church. For although he had no jurisdiction and everything was illicit, if not invalid, I carried on as everything was okay. And if any of the laws from the code got in the way, I would simply say, Epikaya, save my day, come and take God's laws away. Oh yes, indeed, people sometimes wondered, and some of my little band fell away, but for the most part we grew day by day. And I repeat, if anything got in the way of God's laws, I would simply say, Epikaya, save the day, come and take God's laws away. And yes, indeed, now I have been a bishop for a while, and things seem to be getting better, or should I say getting worse. Time will tell, time will tell.
Well, Your Excellency, Most Reverend Brendan Patrick O'Toole, this is indeed also quite a unique looking habit you are wearing. Do you think you can explain for our listening audience how you happened to come up with this green habit with a dark green scapular inladen with the shamrock and the cross? Are you biased toward the Irish or something?
Well, Mr. Crazy Commentator, it is like this. When I decided to start up my religious congregation, I read in Canon 492 that neither the name or the habit of an institute already in existence may be taken by those who are not legitimate members of the same, nor by a new institute. Which means I had to dream up a new habit that no one else would wear. And since I had to approve my own congregation, I also approved the habit that they would wear. And I thought that being so Irish myself, this would really draw people to us, since we know it's Catholic heritage that the Irish sent out so many missionaries from their land for many years. You know how it is, don't you? And to promote our Irish heritage, I also made the Feast of St. Patrick a double of the first class. And I would have also made it with a privileged octave. However, it comes during the holy season of Lent, and people may not have liked that too well. And therefore, in addition, I had to make the Feast of Holy Saint Brendan a double of the first class with a privileged octave, and I advised everyone to pray and intervene in his honor in advance.
Well, Your Excellency, Brendan Patrick O'Toole, that is certainly a life that you have been living, but do you honestly have people that believe in you and that follow you? Don't they ever look in any of the books and see that the Catholic Church forbids many of the things that you have going on in your religious order? Or is it a congregation? Sometimes you call it the one and sometimes the other.
Well, Mr. Crazy Commentator, of course people believe in me, and that's why I have such a nice following. As far as the religious order or the religious congregation, well, it depends from day to day. You know how things go and what they say. Epikaya, save the day, come and take God's laws away. If there are certain laws I don't get along with, I just simply invoke Epikaya and cast them out the window, so they would say. Oh, what a life I live. How enjoyable.
Well, indeed, Your Excellency, Brendan Patrick O'Toole, you have lived quite a life and still carrying on quite a life. But now, as time is running short, let us turn to the uncle of Mr. Anyman, who also happens to be a bishop who hails by the handle of His Excellency, Lofty Desires Outlaw. And Your Excellency, can you please tell our listening audience your background and how you've arrived at the point in life that you're at?
Oh yes, Crazy Commentator. Some people say that I certainly fit my last handle of being an outlaw. I am a real shady character. When I was a young chap like these other two folks you just talked to, I have been known to be doing many things, many good. Well, maybe not so many good, but many bad. Yeah, indeed, I'm a shady character. And I've been involved in a lot of things, like teaching and traveling and studying in politics, drama and journalism. You name it, I was doing it. And I've been in the jailhouse more than I've been out, as well as the state prisons. And I got quite well acquainted with a great number of convicts. And these convicts wanted to say they're a muddled soul. Do you believe that? I'd never tell a lie, you know. Well, anyway, when I saw the church going bad back in the 60s, I decided it was time to make my move. Now's a chance to get ahead in this wicked old world. And when I saw that Paul VI had destroyed the Mass and implemented a large part of his plans for the Masonic domination of the church, and I realized, because I had a lot of time to study there in that state prison, that the dark clouds of Vatican II were already shutting out every vestige of light, grace, and truth. Well, when I got my parole over with and got out of that jail, I decided I'd do something for my comrades that were still in there. I thought maybe I could start up a religious order, or at least a religious congregation, and we would go and work among the convicts and those in the jails. That sounded to me like a very helpful thing, knowing I wish I would have had someone to come and help me out of my troubles when I spent so much time behind the bars. And as I realized that all of these so-called Catholic bishops had abandoned the true faith, their leader was nothing but a false pope, I decided that I wouldn't really need anyone to approve my religious congregation. I could do it myself, even if I was a layman with kind of a shady background. After all, like I've heard these other two fellows just talk to us, when things don't apply, don't apply them. If things don't fit into the program, kick them out the window. Seems to be the going thing today. I thought I could do the same, at least to these comrades of mine. Anyway, I had all these buddies behind the bars yet, wanting help, because I knew they were in a bad, bad way. So I determined I was going to start up my own religious congregation without any more delay. got a few young men and women to follow my way. And from there, everything got going quite well. But there was a problem because being only a layman, it was kind of a shady business trying to give my congregation any ecclesiastical approbation. And then I ran across the fellow up in Montana who called himself Paul Stremmer, and he told me about this inner character, this con man who hailed by the name of Bishop Joseph Maria Rober. And this Bishop Rober, in turn, knew the center old Roman Catholic schismatic bishop in England who went by the name of Burley. In fact, this old Roman Catholic bishop named Burley was one of those many who reconsecrated this Joseph Maria Rober. And as we see from what went on, he went over there with one of his buddies to visit this old Bishop Burley. And old Burley said, "Well, your orders are kind of shady. Let me reconsecrate you, because Rome's not going to buy what you've done so far." But old Bishop Burley didn't care to follow the Pontificale Romanum. He simply laid his hands upon him and said, "Bingo, I make you a bishop." Well, if anyone would do it for old Joseph Maria Rober, Bert Rober, surely old Burley could be talked into doing it for me. And that's where I got my episcopal consecration from those old Roman Catholic schismatics who run back to Bishop Arnold Harris Matthews. And man, there was a real shady character, so bad that Pope Pius X hated him excommunicandus rotundus. But that's past history. We don't like to look at that. We don't have to. Anyway, I got in contact with this old Bishop Burley, and he did the same for me. He put his hands on my head and says, "Bingo, I make you a bishop." And now, although I might be an outlaw, I'm a Catholic bishop, or so they say. Or is it an old Catholic bishop? I'll find out on Judgment Day. And as things went on, I then gave my episcopal approbation to my own congregation. And I thought I was the first and only until I heard these other two shady characters in front of me today. But anyway, it went through. People followed me, and how if they only knew how quickly they would desert me. Well, anyway, these are the facts of life, and I'm quite tricky, being lofty desires outlaw. I also had some lofty desires that maybe, being more than just a bishop, I would seek the papal crown. Well, that was a little bit beyond me. I tried, but for at least I had a lot of thoughts about it. I used to have a lot of visions, you know, and hallucinations. Maybe it was because of the so many drugs I took when I was in those bars. Behind the bars, I meant to say, although I might have been in the bars too often also, as so they would say. Well, that's kind of the beginning. Now let's bring it to the end. Oh yeah, I heard about some of those laws of the church, and I followed those ones who fit into my program day by day. And if they didn't fit into the program, I did the same as these old shady comrades you just heard going on before me. Invoke Epikaya, save the day, take God's laws away. And so they say, and so it's so. I've never told you a lie, don't you know? I'm not that type. I got a funny name, Lofty Desires Outlaw, but I'm not an outlaw. I'd never been. All those times I spent behind the bars in the convict prison camp, well, that was all illegal. That was unjust. And I'm not an unjust character, don't you know? I am very concerned about justice being done. I keep perfect order in my congregation and in the community and those who follow me. I never hold anybody up. I'm not unjust. I'm not uncharitable. I'm striving for perfection.
Well, Your Excellency, at one time I thought that
His Excellency Brendan Patrick O'Toole had quite a habit for his religious order or congregation, but I certainly see that yours is quite unique. After all, is it because you have been a shady character and because of your name and what you told us so far that your habit consists of black and white stripes, just as any inner convict wears? How did all that come about and why? I didn't know that the church would approve such a habit as yours. Does not the church have laws and regulations that determine how religious congregations and orders should be governed and the habits they should wear and all those many things? Oh yes, Mr. Crazy Commentator, the church certainly has a plenty of laws. Why, that's why I've got this habit that I kept, because I kind of got adjusted to it. And I read in Canon 492 that neither the name nor the habit of an institute already in existence may be taken by those who are not legitimate members of the same, nor by a new institute. And so I thought that since there's so many other canon laws, I'm going to boot out the window. Since, of course, they do not strictly apply anymore today, they're only norms for our guidance. But I thought this canon here was pretty easy to be adjusted to. And after all, having such lofty desires, I wanted to also have a unique habit that nobody else would even be likely to copy. And I don't think too many will. And the main reason, of course, was, as I spoke of before, the main reason I started my congregation was to go back into those jails and those prisons and to help out those poor fellow comrades whom I spent so much time with before I became a bishop and started my own religious congregation. And now indeed I fit right in with their program. Oh, they must look up to me, since I lowered myself down to their status. Well, Your Excellency, indeed I would say you have led quite a career. But those things that I read before from the Elements of the Religious Life by Father Humphrey, and the things I read from the book on the Spirit of Sacrifice and these many other laws of the Church, don't those have any effect upon you and your congregation, your supporters? Because it seems like you've broken more laws than anybody when you really get down to all the facts. Well, Mr. Crazy Commentator, don't you know I've already broken so many laws before I even thought of being a religious that the laws of God, I guess, didn't mean too much to me anymore. I've hardened my heart. And therefore, those laws and those things you read about that the church laid down to start up a new religious congregation and to have valid religious back into the church and all those things about papal mandates and this and this and that and that, well, I'm sure you know the answer by now. Epikaya, come my way, take God's laws away. And so they say, and so it's so. No one ever told a lie, you know. Well, indeed then, Your Excellency. I'm sure there's much more interesting things you could tell us. But let us go on to our next guest here on the radio program today. Her name is, let's see if it is, Miss Ego Some Exalted in Law. But she still calls herself a bishop. How is this lady bishop in the church? Miss, Your Excellency, Miss, well, anyway, Ego Some Exalted in Law, can you please explain to us how you reached the state in life that you have?
Well, Mr. Crazy Commentator, my life runs on the same lines as these other people that just been interviewed by you. Yes, when I was a young gal, I was very active. I was involved in teaching and traveling and studying and politics and drama and journalism, you name it, and I was doing it. and I was a real tomboy, a real go-getter, and an active one, and an organizer. And I traveled all over the world trying to do good with lectures and interviews and television and radio programs. And I founded my own little program to get things going to suit my needs. And when the Catholic Church went so bad under the reign of that fancy man called Paul VI, I saw that things were not too good, but it gave me a chance to make my move. For now that Paul VI and those funny fellows in the Vatican had destroyed the Mass and the sacraments and the Church, all those so-called Catholic bishops had lost their jurisdiction. They had thrown away all things that pertain to holiness and sanctity. So the Church was indeed in a bad, bad state. And the world needed me to save it. And the Church herself, I felt, was calling out to me. And therefore, I decided that the best way to go about saving the Church was to start up my own religious order. Well, maybe I only better start with a congregation. But anyway, that's a very minor factor, so they say. And indeed, then I got a few young ladies and men around me, and I did get started on my religious congregation. And being a lay woman, hey, neither a woman nor a lay person has any Catholic spiritual jurisdiction. I was in a tight, tight spot. How am I going to get out of it? Well, when things don't go too well, Epicaius, save the day, come and take God's laws away. That echoed in my ears like it did his comrades before me. And therefore, I just said, Epicaius, save the day, come and take God's laws away. And so they say that it's so, and so it's so, and everyone ever tells a lie, you know. And then I got my good beginning, and how was I going to get any ecclesiastical approbation for my congregation? It was a tight decision and a tough question. But then I was fortunate enough to hear about this bishop up in Montreal, Canada, who goes by the name of André Barbeau. And I was told that he would ordain most anybody at the drop of a hat. And if you stroll him over a few more dollars, he'll even make you a bishop. Well, that sounded like a chance at least. So I went to see this old bishop named André Barbeau. And he was very hesitant at the beginning, but I pleaded with him, André, the world needs me. André Barbeau, come let it go. André, the world needs me. Make me a bishop, please, André. Well, with that persuasive way that I spoke to him, old André Barbeau just broke down and said, yes, madam, I will make you the first and only lady bishop in the world. Well, now I'm on good ground again. I've got my desires fulfilled. And so when this old Bishop André Barbeau made me a bishop, then I in turn gave approbation to my own religious congregation. And I also thought it was the first case in the history of the Church until I heard about these old fellows that you just... The laws of the Church are not to be strictly applied anymore today. They're only a norm for our guidance. And people fell for that. And they fell right into heresy with me. And if they stay around with me, we'll probably spend hell together for eternity.
Well, Miss, Your Excellency, ego some exalted, this is indeed a unique habit that you're wearing. I think it far outdoes even that of Bishop Brendan Patrick O'Toole and Bishop Lofty Desires Outlaw. Why, this habit that you wear seems to remind me of the fires. It has this flaming orange bursting into red. It's like the fires you might see in the front of some young hot rod kid, how he paints his car or his pickup, or the fire you see when they advertise to sell firecrackers and fireworks for the 4th of July. And above all, what is this halo that's on your head? Can you explain your habit for us, please?
Well, Mr. Crazy Commentator, I decided that I was going to set the world on fire when I founded my religious congregation. I was going to preach the love of God, the love of neighbor for the love of God. And so I thought that if I had a habit that matched my desires, people would be more inclined to follow and to fall into my religious congregation. And therefore, I have designed this religious habit that reminds people of fires, to avoid the fires of hell, so they won't be with me forever, and to get in the fires of divine love, where I wished I could make it somehow. But anyway, she asked about my unique halo. It's part of the habit, don't you know? When I first started out, I only had one ring in my halo. And as you see, it says, I'm the greatest. And then, when I got a hold of this old Andre Bobo, I had to change the habit a little bit. And then I put on the second ring of my halo. And it says, I am the first and only, because I indeed am the first woman bishop, and I'm sure I will be the only. But anyway, the crown of it all is this third halo. And then it says, as you can so easily read, I am the Pope. Yes, indeed, I did not want to stop at being just a bishop. And although I had met this old man, Andre Bobo, and he made me the first woman bishop of the world, it did not satisfy my ego desires, for ego sin fits me well. I am exalted. And I thought with my many visions and hallucinations and my drug problems that I would also make myself the Pope. And people fell for that. Can you believe this?
Well, that might be a good time to take a commercial and let the people know that this is Crazy Man Crazy, K-R-A-Z-Y, broadcasting from Religiousville, USA. And now this is your crazy commentator asking you all, do you believe that? Do you believe what these people have interviewed today had to tell you? Is that the way the Catholic Church runs and operates? Is this, for example, His Excellency or Miss Egglesome Exalted In-Law? Is she a true Catholic bishop? Are these things that she done approved by the Church? Are these inner things, these inner characters we interviewed today approved by the Church? Well, since you are my listening audience and I know not your answer, I think I've got suspicions of what you're going to say. And if you think what I think you are thinking, then you think as you think I think. And I think that you think they're all wrong. And this is Crazy Man Crazy, K-R-A-Z-Y, crazy, broadcasting from Religiousville, USA. And these people, you know, were just thoughts in a crazy commentator's mind. However, they were not obviously realities, but now let us interview the real McCoy in this next...